So, Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs in chapter 2. You may be thinking, what's he going to preach on tonight? What's he going to get from this? Well, I'd like us to focus in particular on a verse from chapter 2, and that's verse 15. Let me read it again. It says this, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." Now, there is some debate about the book of Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. And there's a lot of sort of controversy over how to rightly understand and interpret it. And it goes a bit like this. And at LTS, we had some good debates, didn't we, Christian, over how to properly interpret, preach the book of Song of Solomon. So some say Song of Songs is merely, only a song, a love song, about the love between a man and a woman, or a husband and a wife. It's a marriage song, it's a love song, and that's all that it is. It's just human, it's just on this human level. And they say that that is worthy enough to make it to be worthy of being in the Bible, because it's about love and marriage and romance to the glory of God between a man and a woman. Full stop, they say. Others say no. It is a metaphor, it's a spiritual metaphor analogy given to us to portray the relationship between God and his people, Christ and his church. And so, in this, Christ is the man and the church, made up of individual Christians, we are the woman, the bride of Christ, if you like, being loved, being pursued. And they say it's about that, it's about divine love. Now, what do I think? Well, I think that yes, firstly, in its most literal sense, it is a love song between a man and a woman. Many people think that it was a marriage song written to be sung or recited at a wedding, celebrating the love between perhaps Solomon and this woman. So yes, very much, literally, firstly, it is about the love between a man and a woman. It is celebrating marriage, sex and romance to the glory of God on a human level, yes. But I also maintain that it goes beyond that, that there is another dimension too. It is about the love between a man and a woman, yes. But what is the love between a man and a woman? What is marriage a picture of in the first place? Paul in Ephesians reveals to us that God gave marriage to be a picture, an illustration, a lived out parable of Christ and his church. And so, however you take it, I maintain that it has two dimensions to it, Book of Song of Songs. It has the human, romantic love between a man and a woman, but there is another dimension that we can use it for. And it does speak as a metaphor of Christ's love for the church and God's love for his people. And many, many good preachers and theologians have maintained that down the centuries. And so that's how I'm taking it this evening. So, as we approach verse 15 then of chapter 2, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." If we were to take it on the first level, the literal sense of the love between a man and a woman, we would interpret the verse in this manner. The metaphor would be that thus. The vines would represent the grapes, the blossom on the vines would represent the fruit of the love between this husband and this wife, this man and this woman. And so their love relationship is, their marriage is the garden or the vineyard, and the vines on which are growing this blossom or these grapes represent the fruit of their love for one another. But there are many things that would seek to come into this vineyard, come into this garden, and ruin the fruit of their love for one another, spoil the grapes. And these are the little foxes. These are the things, anything that would seek to come into a marriage relationship, and anything that would seek to erode the love, eat at the roots of the love between a man and his wife. And if we were focusing on this, we could talk about many things, couldn't we? We could talk about overworking, being a workaholic, neglecting your wife, say. We could talk about the perils of pornography and lust and things like that, that could be little foxes that could come in and eat away at the precious love between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship. And that would be a worthy sermon in itself. But I don't want to focus on that tonight. I want to focus mainly on this second aspect, taking this song of Solomon, as a metaphor, a picture of God's love for his people and our relationship with Christ. And that's what I want to focus on this evening. So, let us then ask the question, in the relationship with Christ and his people, how does this verse, this metaphor apply? Those of you who are really sharp, you've already got it, haven't you? You're already thinking about what those little foxes might be. Well, let's explain it. In taking it in this way, as the Lord's people, as Christians, we're in a relationship with God. We're in a love relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let me just say this, that Christianity is an intimate love relationship with Christ, or it is nothing. All of our doctrinal correctness and our knowledge and all of our works and seeking to be good, virtuous people is nothing if it doesn't have passionate love, intimate love for Jesus Christ himself. Paul in one place says, whoever does not love our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, because he's so lovely and he's so worthy of our love, it's really serious to not love him. And so true Christianity then, at the heart of it, is a love relationship, an intimate love relationship with our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in this metaphor then, the vineyard represents our relationship with Christ. The vines with the blossom or the early grapes represent our love for Christ. Our love in this relationship toward Christ. And the foxes then, the little foxes, are anything that would seek to enter into our lives to begin to ruin our relationship with Christ. Anything that would seek to take away from, eat at the root of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the little foxes. Okay, so let's move on. Foxes, did you know, were very common in Israel, Palestine, during the time of this book was written, Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. And also today in Israel, it's the same way. And do you know what they would do? Often these foxes, they would burrow in holes in hedges, near vineyards, and they would wait. And unless they were strictly watched, foxes, even small ones, could destroy whole vineyards, ruin vineyards of their harvest, of their fruit. Did you know that their flesh would sometimes be eaten during the autumn time after they had grown fat on eating stolen grapes? Theocritus in the 3rd century wrote this. He said, I hate the foxes with their bushy tails, which numerous spoil the grapes of Micon's vines when fall the evening shades. And Aristophanes compared soldiers to foxes because they would consume the grapes of countries through which they would pass. Thus it's clear then that foxes were a great problem in the day. They were a great threat to the vineyards of the country of Israel. As a result, they would often build walls around their vineyards to protect their fruit, their grapes, and to keep out these little pests, these little foxes. You've got to keep out the foxes and protect your grapes, you see. Otherwise, you won't have any left. You won't have any wine when it comes to harvest time. You won't have any raisins. So, just to spell it out more clearly again, the foxes in this picture represent anything that would seek to come into our lives to spoil the precious fruit of our love toward Jesus Christ. But someone might say, look at the verse, George. It says that they're only little foxes. It says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vines. They're not big foxes. They're only little, tiny, weeny little foxes. What harm can they do? They're cute, aren't they? They're cute. This weekend, Rachel and I were staying with my parents in Sawop. They live in the countryside in Worcestershire. And one evening, we saw the outside security light come on. And I thought, oh, what's that? Is it a burglar? Is it a robber outside at the back? Better have a look. Peer through the curtains. What did I see? But a fox. Yes, a fox. And there it was. It looked like a female fox, didn't it? And she looked very cute. Really cute. Wouldn't do anyone any harm. You know, lovely, pretty little fox. Little cute fox. And foxes can be very cute unless you're a chicken or a farmer or a vine keeper or a child in East London or the mother of twins mauled by the fox in East London. Then all of a sudden we're dealing with a different menace. They look so cute, but boy, they can cause some havoc. They can cause some harm. Right, let's step back and ask the question, what in particular might these little foxes be that would seek to come into our lives to ruin our love toward Christ? Well, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, in his little commentary on this book, Song of Songs, he suggested this. He said it could be little compromises with the world. Just little compromises that we make in our lives. We just make a little compromise with the world. We love the world a bit and we make a compromise. Only a small thing. Or it may be the disobedience to the still small voice, he says. And so we may in our conscience sometimes just hear a whisper. We know that God, maybe by his Spirit, is convicting us that we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be going there. We shouldn't be seeing this, saying this. That can be a little fox if we ignore it. It can be little indulgences of the flesh to the neglect of duty. Little indulgences of the flesh, just indulging our fleshly nature to the neglect of duty, of spiritual duty. He suggests those three things. Let us add some more. You can probably think of some. What are they for you? Perhaps it's envy. We look at others and we go green. We want what they've got. We become jealous of others, and that can come in like a little fox, and a root of bitterness can spring up, or jealousy and envy, or covetousness. We're not content with what we've got. We're not content with God and food and clothing, but we want this. We want what that person has got. We're overtaken by a really nice car on the motorway in our old car and we want one, or we want the latest whatever it is, and covetousness can come in like a little fox, or gossip or evil speaking, how we use our tongues, and that can run away with us. It could be impurity. In fact, Harry Ironside in his commentary said that impurity is a wolf, not a fox. You see, just a little lustful look, or just a quick look, and the fox is into the vineyard, over the wall, and he's rifling the grapes. So easy, you see. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It could be any kind of carelessness in our spiritual life where we just coast along. And when we coast, we drift, don't we? We just drift. If we coast, like if you go swimming in the sea, if you stop swimming, then you'll just drift along with the current, the tide. And it's like that in this world. If we stop swimming, for God and putting effort in, then we'll just drift along, won't we, with the tide of the culture of our day, with all of its ungodly standards. And it's so easy to just get swept along with it, not even realizing. Could be the neglect of the Bible, the neglect of prayer, the neglect of fellowship with God's people. Well, you're all here tonight, so I don't think you're guilty of that one. I think we're okay on that one at least. Could be tiredness even. Because sometimes when we're really thinking kind of super spiritually, we can think that if we want to be really spiritual, we have to sleep very little and get up really early. And there may be some virtue in that. But when you're really tired, your body physically feels really tired, it's harder, isn't it, to be alert spiritually. We are made up of body and soul, so closely intertwined together. And so the things that affect our bodies really do affect our soul too. If we're really tired physically, we can be sluggish, tired, lethargic spiritually. And we can stop being careful and little foxes can get in. So try and get enough sleep. Know how much sleep you need and try and get it. It can be really important in the spiritual fight, the spiritual battle. Basically, a fox, a little fox, can be anything that is not helpful in our spiritual lives, anything that can dull our spiritual life. And it can be good things that we've taken to an excess. Too much TV late at night, too much internet, too much Facebook, too much sport, too much entertainment, too much rest, laziness, and fill in the blank. What is it for you? We all struggle with things like this. What is it for you? What is it for me? Let's fill in the blank. But whatever it might be for us, there are many things like little foxes that seek to come into the vineyard of our hearts and to steal and eat the grapes, the fruit of our love for Jesus. So, warning, danger. There are foxes about. There are foxes about. So what should we do about it? We will go fox hunting, that's what. And let me just insert a little disclaimer here. This doesn't necessarily reflect my view on fox hunting itself. If you want to know that, then you can ask me later. But I'm using this as a metaphor, you see. So as we continue the figure, this picture, let us gather up our hounds of determination and mount up on our steeds of self-control, and let us go out after those little foxes to catch them so that they don't spoil the love that we have for our Lord Jesus. We will destroy them before they destroy our love for Jesus. We will catch them before they catch us out. We use that phrase, don't we? Nip it in the bud. You must nip it in the bud. Get it early. Get it while it's young, while it's small, before it's big and out of control and you can't get it anymore. Because little foxes can eat a lot of grapes. Little foxes can spoil a big vineyard. And little sins, just little sins, can lead to bigger ones. So the thief, he starts out not by wanting to be a thief, but just by coveting things that he hasn't got. Oh, I want that. I like that. I need that. He doesn't nip it in the bud, and it leads down the line to theft. The adulterer doesn't start out wanting to commit adultery. Very few people start out wanting to commit adultery. He or she just starts out by just allowing their eyes to linger and just allowing a little bit of sin in, just a little bit of lust, and before you know it, it gets bigger and bigger, and it's like a snowball rolling downhill, and then it's out of control, and they're doing something that they never would have dreamed of. So little sins don't stay little. And the backslider that ends up miles away from God, doesn't wake up one morning thinking, right, today I'm going to be a backslider. Today I'm going to go far away from God. No, he just wakes up and he thinks, oh, I won't pray today. I won't read my Bible. And he doesn't think about God for a day. He doesn't think about God for 2 days. And his Bible is just pushed aside and doesn't think about spiritual things. And then he goes out with his non-Christian friends and all of a sudden, he's going further, he's just drifting slowly, slowly further away from God. And the spiritual life is diminishing day by day. And he's becoming a backslider. Imagine that when you get back to your houses tonight, on your doorstep, there's in a box, there's a tiny little really cute tiger cub. And you pick it up, you get it out, and it's so cute. You just want to hug it and play with it. And you bring it into the house, and you feed it, and you care for it, and you feed it, and you feed it, and you care for it. And you feed it, and you feed it, and it gets bigger, a little bit bigger. And one day, if you keep feeding it, and you keep allowing it to live with you, and it could eat you. And it's that way with sin. Just feed it a little bit bigger. Be careful. We need to be careful. We must watch against little sins. Spurgeon said little sins are like little clouds that hide the sun. You know, you're out there on a nice sunny day and you're enjoying the rays of the sun, and then all of a sudden, it only takes a little cloud to come in front of the sun and you lose the enjoyment of the rays. And he says that a great wall can be made up of little pebbles. So we must be watchful against little sins. And we must watch and guard against anything that would seek to spoil, eat at our love for Jesus. Did you know that today, even today, like in the old days, the times of Song of Solomon, the vineyards, when you go to Israel and you go to see these vineyards, you can still see some stone huts that are erected by the vineyards, and watchers are on their watch, they're on guard to look out for foxes. They set traps for foxes so that they don't come in and spoil the grapes. And so, using the metaphor then, we, in our spiritual lives, have to be on our guard and watching for things that would come in and ruin our love for Jesus. Be on watch. Be on guard. Set traps. Be alert. Set a watch over our hearts to protect the fruitfulness of our spiritual lives. George Burroughs says this. He said, "We are to be anxious to guard the vineyard of the heart against the inroad of anything, however trifling, that may corrode and destroy our graces
like our love for Jesus, our faith in Jesus, our joy in Jesus. But too often, you and I, too often we can be like the boy represented by Theocritus, who was given the task of, he was set the task of watching over a vineyard. He was set to watch over a vineyard. But do you know what he started to do? He started to get bored and complacent. And then he started to make a daisy chain with flowers. And he got so absorbed in his daisy chain that he didn't notice two foxes climbing up over the wall into the vineyard. One was stealing his lunch and the other was rifling the grapes. And too often, sadly, we're like that, aren't we? In our spiritual lives, we grow complacent and we get distracted with things. And all of a sudden, little fox is in, spoiling the fruit. So as we apply this to ourselves this evening, we must be careful then to watch over our hearts, to seek to put to death the first uprising of sin. As it says in Romans 8:13, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So what can we do then? As we seek to protect our spiritual lives, as we seek to watch over our love for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, what can we do to help us in this? Well, again, George Burroughs says this, that never is our carefulness in guarding against sin so great as when we are most deeply filled with the love of Jesus. Put it this way, if you are the owner of a vineyard, and if your vineyard is the best vineyard in the area, and on your vineyard grow the best, choicest grapes that you are proud of, that you are so careful to protect, you are going to be more vigilant in watching anything that would seek to get at your fruit. And so as we cultivate our love for the Lord Jesus, and as that blossoms and grows and becomes more fruitful, it will become so precious to us that we will then be more on our guard against anything that would come in to erode it. You see? We naturally protect what is most precious to us, what is dearest to our hearts. So therefore, let me just encourage you, as we come to a close, let me encourage us all, me too, because I preach this to myself as much as to you. We must catch the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom, and we must seek to cultivate our vineyard by feeding our love for Jesus, by enjoying him, by spending time with him, in fellowship with him. And we know it, don't we? We know it, but sometimes we do become neglectful, don't we, in our spiritual lives, and we don't spend that much time with the Lord. And when we don't, things go downhill, don't they? In chapter 2, it's interesting that the lover says to his beloved, he says, verse 10, "My lover spoke and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land, the fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance.'" Are you getting the picture of this lovely spring this lovely spring, fragrant spring season. And the lover says, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. When you're in love with someone, you want to be with them all the time. And the lover says, come away, my love, and be with me. And the Lord Jesus, he loves his people, you see. And he wants to be with his people. He wants closeness, intimacy with his beloved bride, his beloved people that he came to win, that he died to win. He bought us with his blood. He loves us. And he wants fellowship with us, closeness with us, you see. And he would say to all of us this evening, come away, my love. Come away from the busyness. Come away from the distractions for a while, just to be with me, to enjoy being with me. So take time then. We must all be careful that we take time to be with Jesus, to see Jesus, and then our love for him will be fed as we see him in his word, as we meditate on him, as we pray to him and experience him. Then we will be far more watchful over these little foxes, and we will catch them, and we will not let them ruin our love for our Lord.